25-22. Freshman from Tennessee, an amazing experience I had with the Bollingers. I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty.
It was an amazing fireworks-filled roundtable discussion with Drs. Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, and Brian Artis.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere?
And of course, there was fireworks. Yep. For sure. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. August 25th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stuel. On Monday, Tony Fauci announced that he's resigning. Sadly, he's not leaving to start a prison sentence, or more appropriately, go to a gallows. But he's leaving. He's not retiring, though. Just moving on to the next chapter of his career. At 82 years old. So he wants to keep working, but suddenly pivoting to a new gig in the last years of his life. What the hell is really going on here? Well, hopefully we can get a little bit more information from Dr. Paul Elias Alexander, a former senior HHS official under President Trump. He says that he has some things to say about the CDC that nobody else knows. He couldn't even tell us what it was before coming on. Well, obviously we're eager to hear what he has to say. Dr. Paul E. Alexander joins us now. Dr. Alexander, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Stu. Thanks again. What an honor to be on your show once again. So let me get straight to the point. To follow up with what you said, William C. had come out and said about 4 days ago that they made dramatic mistakes, serious problems at the CDC. Fauci followed the day after to say that, we can't only blame William C. We should go backwards. So he was probably talking about in Redfield time, when I was there, and Friedman time, you know, Obama era. Then they trotted out the scarf lady, aka Burks, who came out the day after to say, what Fauci was basically saying is we have a transparency issue. No, it's not a transparency issue. CDC is not a public health agency. It may have been that 50 years ago, but it operates today as a complete political arm of the government. The CDC publishes its guidance and its technical documents to hit or go after on behest of the existing government on the adversaries. So when I was there, I can tell you, we were looking at guidance from CDC and we were looking at the reporting in the MMWR. The MMWR that the CDC puts out is a pseudoscientific document. It's not science. It's junk. It's garbage. It cannot be published in a proper peer-reviewed journal. They put it out as science. But if you read it carefully, if you read the methodology, you read the messaging, you read the half-baked data, and you see what they omit, they worked to subvert CDC, NIH, FDA, NIAID, worked under President Trump to subvert him. They used their guidance to subvert him. I spoke to these people confidentially, because I was there at the HHS. They told me they couldn't speak like me. They knew how I was writing and what I was saying, and I was targeted for destruction, me and Dr. Atlas. But they told me bluntly, our job at CDC and the NIH daily is to undermine Trump. We're going to do that by making America seem ungovernable, unmanageable during the pandemic response, that everything he did was wrong. We are actually making the policies, but he's getting the blame. And that is what I found that President Trump didn't understand. They were hollowing him out, actually toppling a sitting president, and he was not understanding what the CDC and the NIH and the FDA were doing to him. And I wanted to come on to this program today to say, look, we need to investigate these people. This is United States of America. This is the greatest country on earth. So we are good governance society. So we have to do everything by law and proper. These people need proper public legal inquiries. No kangaroo courts. Everybody needs to produce their evidence, their science, to show us how you made your policy decision. Because we know that all the lockdowns failed across the world and America. All the school closures failed, everyone. Children committed suicide because of the school closures. All of the mask mandates failed. We can't find one study. We looked at it. All of the business closures. Every single COVID policy by Fauci, Burks, Walensky, Redfield, Hahn, Francis Collins, all of these people, by Pfizer, Bula, Banson, Moderna, failed. American people need to understand this. Now we are fighting them with the push to vaccinate our children. But I wanted to say something because I want to be on record by saying it. When I went to Washington, my position is a senior pandemic advisor to the Trump administration. And my job was at HHS. My office was on the sixth floor of the HHS building, 200 Independence. Redfield, Hahn, all of these people, Girard, they had sub-offices in my building. I dealt with them routinely. But I have to let the American people know something. Something major was taking place in Washington in the government. There were people in the Congress and the Senate who were very angered over the last two decades about what CDC and the other alphabet agencies, public health, has done. It became known to me quickly when I arrived in Washington with some high-level meetings that my job, while being a pandemic advisor to Trump administration, I was actually selected because of my expertise in evidence-based medicine to produce high-level technical scientific report for the Congress and the Senate that they would table and call for hearings to begin a proper reorganization. Some of them explain a dismantling of the CDC. And I was to produce that reporting. I was to report directly to them, who they are. And I was explained that they can't tell me exactly who, but the Oval Office also was involved. So that's what my job was. My job for the United States government, when I was there, was to help in the dismantling, reorganization, however you want to say it. I felt it was to fix the CDC. So that's exactly what I was doing, producing technical input for the Congress, et cetera, who were working, the members, whomever they were, with the Oval, getting me to produce reporting for them to go to Congress. And I felt good about it from the point. I felt it was a very, very tense situation. It was scary at times for me, but I felt good because I realized that there were people in government who were trying to fix these corrupted alphabet agencies, these public health agencies. So I felt very proud and privileged, but that's what I wanted to share today.
So is it safe to say that President Trump was aware of what your job was in dismantling the CDC? Did it come from President Trump? Was this a Trump initiative?
Well, Stu, I'll say it this way. The people that I spoke with, and there were other people with me, the people I spoke with, I asked that question specifically, is this a President Trump request, direct? And the way they explained to me is, they cannot tell me that, but they will say, and I did know because of who I was dealing with, it involved the Oval Office. And that's how I will answer your question. And I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, I think President Trump tried to do a lot of good for America. He did. I will never say negative things. I am devastated by the lockdowns and him allowing Fauci and Burks to lead them to destroy people's lives. And the bringing of this Operation Warp Speed vaccine that has proven to be ineffective and even harmful, devastated by it. And I'm waiting for him to come to the forefront and stand up and tell us that the lockdowns failed and the vaccine should have never been bought. But I will never say anything. I know this guy tried. This was a good guy, but I'll say it this way, the swamp drained President Trump. He didn't understand the depth of the deviancy of the people around him and what Washington really was.
So I have you here. I mean, you were a senior pandemic advisor. You worked at HHS. You described where your office was. You're an expert in science. I mean, you're a great brain, specifically to this pandemic. And you mentioned a lot of names. Masking and lockdowns was a CCP, Communist China initiative, and it was their tactic that they used there. It was failed yes. there. They had the science. They had the reports that it was failing there, but it was a way to enslave a sixth of the world's population, essentially. How did it end up in the United States government conversations that masking or lockdowns would be an appropriate response? How did that conversation begin in the Oval Office or at HHS or in the CDC? Who is it that brought that to the table and said, yeah, this would be a great idea?
Well, you know, the thing about it is that we saw those images, too, of the fallen down man who dropped all of a sudden in China. And that spooked everyone in the world.
Propaganda. Totally fake.
Propaganda. Yes.
Totally fake. Yes, that was made up.
Yes, we know those were lies, etc. But that spooked Trump, too. That spooked everyone. But the people who were the architects of the lockdowns and the school closures and the mask mandates was Francis Collins, Tony Fauci, and Deborah Birx. They told Trump, they've been on record saying, they went into the Oval Office and recommended that we need to shut this down. But the reality about it is, even WHO had a report in 2019 where they actually documented that none of these things were effective. And the only thing that you really use in an epidemic or pandemic response is you isolate or quarantine symptomatic sick people. But all of the other things, lockdowns, quarantines at the border, all of those things, garbage, junk, ineffective, don't work. These people had some agenda. And I will say it in the way I look at it today, with everything that I know, there was no basis, none. There was no evidence to bring these lockdowns, to harden them, to prolong them. And that is the legacy of Tony Fauci and Deborah Birx et al. It is one of failure. The CDC and the NIH and the FDA has failed. Every single policy under the Trump administration with this pandemic and even the Biden administration has failed. And again, they've brought it forward to these vaccines in children under no condition. This is what our parents and grandparents' lives have come to. This is their thermopylae. This is their hot gates.
Deborah
Birx here they reach their fight.
Had no public health experience at all whatsoever. Deborah Birx had no idea what she was doing. How did she get that job? How did she end up on this panel, on this COVID response panel? How did she end up on this committee?
Well, Trump said at certain points that he inherited these people. And then we got reports that Pence appointed them. Deborah Birx, as you said, has no public health experience. In fact, when I look at her work on HIV, I found it was suboptimal and incompetent. I don't know how she got to be the advisor.
I will tell you. I will tell you. Matthew Pottinger. That is how she got her job. That was a favor. She was poking around and she wanted a senior level job at the Trump administration White House. She was offered some lower level job. She wasn't happy with that. So she kept pushing through her contacts until she got to Pottinger. Pottinger, if you follow his career, looks to be an intel agency spook of sorts who ended up next to the president as a national security advisor and brought Birx in and basically told Pence, this is the woman that is going to be here, who had no idea what she was doing. Everybody should look into Pottinger. This is kind of new on my desk right now, this Matthew Pottinger, and I don't know much about him, but this is a guy that appears to have been actively subverting the president and trashing America and doing personal favors up the ladder while he was doing it. If you follow his career, it takes you right to General Michael Flynn, who brought him into the White House with him. All kinds of things regarding this Matthew Pottinger that I think should be looked into.
Yes.
And we're going to continue to do all of that.
I've heard that name recently.
Yeah. It's a name that I think people should look into. I've got about a minute left here, Dr. Alexander. Final
Stu,
words.
You are angry. You are angry. You're angry. And I mean, I hover between rage on one side from what they've done to America and the world and just boiling anger to the next. So there's no reprieve. These people, Fauci, Birx, Francis Collins et al., with these vaccine companies, Pfizer and Moderna, they damaged the United States and the world. Many state leaders I met in Washington in different conferences and stuff, they told me, Paul, we would have never locked down. We would have never locked down. We knew the science. We knew the lockdowns would have failed. We'd have hurt our people. We locked down because we were scared of America. After Trump locked down March 16, we felt that America would blacklist us, poor countries, middle-income countries. We felt it would have stopped the money grants for the Western Union transfers that our people who work in America sent. They locked down out of fear, and they realized that it was a complete failure. We harmed Americans. It will take, some modelers suggest now, the rest of the 21st century, 18 more years, to fix what we did, particularly to the poor in America, particularly to children in America, in terms of their education, their social development, their emotional well-being. Stu, American children, I was there. Let me end by reminding people, we were getting reports coming up from the states that was winding up to the White House. American children committed suicide that news media refused to cover. American children hung themselves due to the school closures of Fauci and Burks. Never forget that. That's why we need accountability, and we need them in proper legal forums to answer to every single thing. And from my point of view, if we show that Fauci and Burks and Collins and these people, Bula and Bansal, caused the deaths of Americans, I want us to first clean them out financially, take every cent. And if we could imprison some of them, I would put them in a jail.
That's not going far enough, in my opinion. The only penalty that's appropriate is the death penalty for the amount of damage that that man has caused to this world. If he is convicted of these crimes, he should hang. If you read the first four chapters of Bobby Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, you will know a whole lot more, and I think that people should do that. It's not a super easy read, but it is worth the read. Read the first four chapters of that book. This is a man who roughly a decade ago forced kids, had them held down and forced needles in their arms. Minority kids, black kids in impoverished communities of New York. Read the book. There's a reason why this guy trips my trigger, and everybody should be aware of who he actually is. This little weasel should be in the gallows somewhere. Dr. Paul E. Alexander, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
The boosters are killing millions.
Got a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning.
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
What is the deficit now? 30 some odd trillion dollars? That's fake. It's just an excuse. Hyperinflation, just an excuse. Tax hikes, a way to rob you. Rob you blind for everything that you've ever worked hard to earn and even harder to save. Resetting the financial system, that's the goal, bringing everybody to zero so they can steal the land and assets and money that you have worked hard to earn. Protect it. Physical gold and silver. Call my friends at Goldco today. 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. If you have 50 grand or more in an IRA, a savings account, or a 401k, any kind of retirement account, it's at imminent risk for government theft and the reset. Don't lose it. Protect it with gold and silver. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. When you do, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Just mention Stu Peters when you call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. For months, Australia banned its unvaccinated teachers from even appearing in school. And now they're finally being allowed back, but they're getting an 18-week pay cut as punishment for not submitting to the jab. It's just another step in the ever-growing China-style social credit system that's being built in the West, Australia specifically. Every action is policed. Every choice has a right or wrong answer decided by the government, and the penalties for the wrong choice are dramatic. Along with that, there's other new developments from Australia. Reportedly, kids in school are being fed bugs without their parents' knowledge. And in Victoria, Australia's most liberal state, it's illegal to not affirm a person's gender. Maria Z is the host of Uncensored on the Stu Peters Network, and she is in Australia joining us now live to discuss all of this. So the big story here, kids are being fed insects without the knowledge of their parents?
Yes, they asked you. I was contacted by a very disturbed mother who told me that her child came home and reported that she ate bugs that day. So I spoke to this mother. We spoke over the course of a few days. She contacted the principal, and his response was that the children weren't forced to eat the bugs and that her child simply consented to eating these bugs and that it's 100% above board and that this is part of the school curriculum. They've introduced the bugs as part of a science regarding the science curriculum regarding sustainability and climate change. And as from the principal, because eating bugs will become foods that will be eaten in the future. So this is part of the children's curriculum. I don't know if parents were notified that this was part of the children's curriculum. This mother certainly did not know that her child was going to be fed bugs. And I mean, little children, you know, they would think that it's fun. They would think that this is something new to experiment with. They would have no idea about the toxicity of bugs. The school is giving children bugs that are toxic and you know, could potentially be lethal for them. And this is just part of the curriculum now. It's normal because in the future, we're just, we have to accept now that we're just going to be eating bugs?
I don't have any words for that. If I found out that the school is feeding Nolan or Eli bugs when they return, I would probably end up in jail, honestly. I mean, without my permission, without my knowledge, there's no science project, there's no justification, global warming, there's no justification for feeding insects to children at all. Illegal to not affirm a person's chosen gender, illegal.
This is another example of some laws that have been passed while we were focused on lockdowns, while we were focused on all of our civil liberties being eroded, Stu. I actually missed this at the end of last year, but I've just found out. So this is under the Daniel Andrews government Change or Suppression Conversion Practices Prohibition Act of 2021. If you attempt to dissuade someone from changing gender, you can face up to 10 years in jail and a $200,000 fine. Organizations can be fined up to $1 million, but listen to this. It also bans people praying for someone who approaches them saying that they have, that they want prayer. So even if that person asks for prayer for the fact that they feel confused or they need guidance, that pastor or that minister can face those same fines. On top of that, the new laws make it risky for parents not to affirm their children's gender, which make it illegal for parents to try to stop their children from taking puberty blockers. We can see that this is rolling out over many countries, Stu, but I was particularly shocked about the fact that, you know, traditionally, if someone has a struggle with something, they approach a church leader for prayer. They may not even be Christian, but they find comfort in that. No, under the Daniel Andrews government, that is illegal.
These people are hell sent, spawns of Satan, directly from the devil himself. Along with eating bugs, yes, we're going to have to accept the fact that the future looks like this. Demonic, satanic people want to see children die, and they want to molest them and grope them and touch them and get off sexually by forcing them to switch their gender. This is the future if people don't rise up and stop this. I've got about a minute left here, and I want to hear about this social credit system and these teachers being cut pay 18 weeks for not submitting to the jab.
Yes, again, this is an example of how all of the plans of the New World Order are tested here first, Stu. Unvaccinated Queensland teachers are allowed back to work, but now for the next 18 weeks, they will be penalized, and they've actually called it a punishment, and they are facing disciplinary action for not complying with previous mandates. So if it isn't bad enough that they lost their jobs, now there's additional measures in place to remind you, hey, you better listen to the government no matter what. The penalties are specific to individual circumstances, but equate to a cut between $25 and $90 a week over 18 weeks, proportionate to normal pay. Now, people may say that's not much, but that's not the point here. The point here is that they are conditioning you to accept a UBI, okay, you you know, for the future UBIs and pay cuts, you don't comply with climate change policies, you don't comply with future injections, your income is going to be affected. This is a flex of their power, and this is only going to get worse, Stu.
And they have the power specifically in Australia because everybody gave up their guns. Don't ever give an inch on the Second Amendment here in the United States. Don't ever give up your guns. Maria Z, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. God bless.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Your body's overall functions rely heavily on the amount of magnesium that you have in your body. 75% of Americans suffer from a magnesium deficiency. That deficiency can lead to anxiety and stress and depression and low mood and sleepless nights and an early grave. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Magnesium Breakthrough, the 7 most critical, most important types of magnesium, the exact appropriate amounts. Go there now, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Don't die early. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. All across the country, American towns and cities are falling apart. In our largest cities, murders are up about 40% compared to just 3 years ago. That means literally thousands of people being killed nationwide. A lot of people might not know this. The murder surge in the United States over the past 2 years has claimed more lives than the Iraq and Afghanistan wars combined. And unlike those wars, the murder surge is still going. And that's just measuring people who died directly. How many people had their lives completely demolished, destroyed, ruined because their businesses were burned down by rampaging mobs? Violent, government-sponsored, CIA-created domestic terrorist groups like Antifa and BLM. How many couldn't keep their stores open because they were continuously being robbed over and over again? And of course, the perpetrators were never stopped or put in prison. How many of those people are dead today from overdoses or suicides? How many people are alive but live in terror every day because of how their homes and marriages and relationships have fallen apart? But it's not just violent crime. It's not noticed much, but traffic deaths are way up in America. Thousands of extra people are just dying every year from car crashes than before COVID. So what the hell is going on? Well, actually, it's pretty simple. America has declared war on its police these last 2 years. Instead of blaming criminals for crime, our leaders decided to blame the people who stop crime. Well, no surprise, we have a lot more crime, a lot more violence, a lot more destruction, a lot more death. So why do we do that? Well, because our leaders are fake and they're too cowardly to accept obviously true facts. I'll say it. The fact is, crime isn't equally distributed in America. Men commit a lot more crime than women, young people commit a lot more crime than old people, and yes, black people commit a lot more crime than whites, or Asians, or Hispanics. Facts. So that means if you're fighting crime honestly, you're going to arrest young black men way more often than anybody else. They commit the most crime, so they're going to go to jail the most. That's how the system is supposed to work. But our fake, phony, cowardly leaders lie about what reality is, and then they blame the police instead. They accuse them of racism, even where it's obvious that none exists. It happened with George Floyd. There was nothing racist about Derek Chauvin putting George Floyd under his knee. He was following standard Minneapolis Police Department procedure for dealing with large men violently lashing out, which is exactly what George Floyd was doing. But when George Floyd died from the fentanyl he intentionally swallowed, Derek Chauvin took the blame. Now he's spending decades in prison. And it's not just Chauvin. They're throwing every cop who was with him in prison for years too. None of them did anything wrong. They were political scapegoats, and that's it. Period. This is happening everywhere in America. The police officers who handled the Breonna Taylor case are being targeted by the Biden DOJ. They're going to get railroaded to prison too. But that's the plan. All over the country. If police do their jobs and try to keep criminals in check, the government will toss them in prison whenever anything goes wrong. So now cops are getting the message, of course. Thousands of them are just walking off the job, taking jobs where they won't be thrown in prison after the slightest mistake, or not even a mistake. Even in the most justifiable use of force situation, these cops are being targeted and sent to prison. So others, of course, have decided to stay at their jobs, but not really work that hard. And I don't blame them. Why should they? Just take it easy. Keep your head down. Collect a paycheck. Because actually stopping crime is just a way to be labeled a criminal yourself. So unsurprisingly, with what these fake leaders are doing, millions of talented young men are going to decide that, hey, being a cop is not the best idea. As a matter of fact, it's a bad idea. But that doesn't mean the jobs won't be filled. They'll be filled by worse men, by those who are less qualified, less capable, more corrupt. That's where we're headed, intentionally, on purpose, because our fake leaders can't admit the truth, that different groups in this country commit crime more often than others, and it makes sense for our police to notice it. One of the victims of our ongoing war on cops is former Alabama police officer Ben Darby. 1 year ago this week, Darby was sentenced to 25 years in prison for doing his job. Ben was a young cop with the Huntsville Police Force in 2018 when he was called to the home of Jeff Parker, a deranged man who called the police to his house and was waving a gun, threatening to shoot himself. Parker ended up essentially committing suicide by cop. Ben was forced to make a difficult split-second decision in a moment of danger, under stress, in a crisis situation. Afterwards, he was cleared by the Police Incident Review Board. But after he was cleared, the local district attorney decided to make Ben into a political target. He wanted to get a policeman's scalp to enhance his career. Ben was offered multiple plea deals, but of course, he turned them all down because why? He was innocent. He was cleared by the review board. But now, thanks to his principles, he's received a quarter-century prison sentence. Keelan Darby is Ben's wife and is fighting to get him freed. She says that Ben's trial was a politically motivated farce where several pieces of exculpatory evidence were withheld from the jury. And she joins us now. Keelan, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, Stu.
Is that an accurate depiction of what happened to Ben?
Absolutely. So in 2018, he went to a call for service to help other officers who were originally dispatched to the call. And police nationwide are trained to not enter a home of an armed gunman in the situation that they were given. And I can speak to this professionally because I myself is an officer. So I understand and have gone through the training that Ben went through. He went to that call thinking that they were going to set up a perimeter and call Mr. Parker out, just like we're trained. He gets there, has his shotgun ready to take a distant shot on a perimeter, realizes that the other two officers aren't outside, but are actually inside the house with no cover and no concealment, nothing to protect them. Both of their guns are pointed at the ground while Parker has a gun pointed to his own head. Ben runs up there, sees that the one officer is completely in direct line of sight of this individual and tells her, point your gun at him, he can shoot you. She doesn't even have her gun up. She's not even defending herself. And she puts her gun up and you can see on her body camera footage, she'll put her gun up and then she takes it off and looks at Ben and says, he's not going to shoot us. And then puts her gun down and looks back at Parker. Ben comes in, puts his shotgun on Parker and says, put the gun down. Parker audibly says, no, I'm not going to do it. Ben tells him again, I'm not going to tell you again, put the gun down. And as Parker has the gun to his head, he shrugs his shoulders, moving the gun forward like this, ever so slightly. Ben is able to quickly recognize that slight movement, which is a furtive movement towards an officer and towards the other officers that were present and defend his life and the other officers' lives that day. That in itself was not allowed to be given to the jury, along with several key elements of testimony that would have exonerated and does exonerate Ben Darby.
What about the report from the incident review board that cleared Ben of all of this?
Yeah, so that the incident review board consisted of Huntsville Police Department personnel, the district attorney's office, including Rob Broussard, the district attorney for Madison County, as well as the chief prosecutor, Tim Gann, who prosecuted the case against my husband. Huntsville City legal representatives were present, and then regular citizens were present. They all had the opportunity to listen to everyone's testimony, review everything that had happened. They were all given the opportunity to ask questions, to which no one asked a question. And they all decided that Ben acted correctly and he did as he was trained. The other two officers were not deemed as such, and they were sent to remedial training for lack of threat assessment. Again, Ben was not sent back to training. The other two officers were. Ben did not get in trouble. The other two officers did. 4 months after that incident review board, the district attorney brings charges against my husband for murder. In between those 4 months, the district attorney went to Huntsville police chief and said, if you fire him, we won't press charges. And the chief said, no, he didn't do anything wrong. Why would I fire him? And after 4 months, the DA said, fine, we'll charge him. He got a grand jury to indict him on murder, which a grand jury indictment is very easy to get. And he charged my husband with murder. He was arrested there. We had to bond him out of the jail, and he was put on admin leave and then eventually brought back to work and put on admin duty. 3 years later, so 2021, because of COVID shutting everything down, we finally get a trial. January of 21, he was given a plea deal to take manslaughter, no custody time, 5 years probation. Still a felony. You won't have to go to prison, but you'll be on probation. And Ben said, no, I didn't commit murder and I didn't commit manslaughter. I did nothing wrong. I'm not taking it. We go to trial May of 2021. The judge doesn't allow several key testimonies of witnesses and trainers. She doesn't allow the fact that Ben was cleared by the department and several other key pieces the jury was not able to hear. The jury ultimately convicts him, finds him guilty. And then we go to sentencing last August, and the prosecutor's office says, we recommend at least 25 years in prison. So you can't tell me it's not personal, because originally they said, don't fire him and we won't charge him. And then we end up with, give us at least 25 years.
What made Ben a personal target?
Why is he a personal target?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what the DA has against Ben Darby. There have been several other cases, namely the Crystal Ragland shooting that happened in 2019 that involved Huntsville Police Department. That was also a suicide by cop. Those officers did exactly as they were supposed to. Crystal walked out with a gun in her waistband. She reached for it and she got shot. She actively was going towards a gun that could have been used against them. They did the right thing according as we're trained. Those officers never got tried, never got charged. They're still living and walking around as free men, as they should be.
The only and necessary key ingredient in the recipe for totalitarian rule is the absence of the rule of law. And you get that by purging good cops, throwing them in prison, sending a message to the remaining cops that if you do your job, this is what's going to happen to you. The same thing that they're doing with the military. If you don't take this shot, you're out. And so now you have a military full of subservient yes men who will probably essentially fire on Americans if they're asked to do so. This is all intentional. This is all by design. $12 billion in damage. That's an understatement. 3 months over the summer of 2020 as a result of George Floyd right down the street from here, dying of a fentanyl overdose. The coroner even said so.
Yeah.
But yet still, every cop that's there is sent to prison, railroaded. This is a message that's being sent to the cops. Do you think that that's hyperbolic? Am I overstating that, or do you agree with that?
No, I agree. Absolutely. I have friends at Huntsville Police Department that Ben obviously has worked with and I have a professional relationship with. And they said when he was found guilty, they stopped policing. They stopped being proactive. They stopped trying to find criminals because they knew, based off of what just happened to Ben, if they were to use force, the DA was going to send him to prison.
15 years of chasing violent fugitive offenders, violent offenders, crimes against persons, gangs, guns, drugs, rape, murder, before I ended up in this chair. Only God knows why I'm doing this. But I know hundreds of Minneapolis police officers. I'm very close personal friends with dozens of Minneapolis police officers, a lot of which have left because of the same type of situation. Those that remain are sitting under shade trees, getting their traffic minimums, you know, writing no proof of insurance tickets rather than actually jumping out on active gangbangers that have guns in their waistband and actually doing real police work. Why would they? Why would any cop be motivated to go and do the job? And why would any young man who's qualified and really wants to do something positive in his community ever aspire to be a police officer when you look at the climate of law enforcement today? This is intentional. It's by design. It's absolutely 100% on purpose. We want to help with Ben's case. So where is this at now? And what are the efforts that are taking place to free him?
So we're at the appeal process, which is at the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals. Unfortunately, they do not have a deadline or any type of pressure to make a decision. So we have been waiting for a year, basically. We submitted all of our briefs in February, so they've had them since then. Like I said, Ben's been in prison since last August. We're hopeful to have a decision by this upcoming February. That's the timeline we've been loosely given. But again, the judges have no pressure and no standard to hurry up and make a decision. They do have other cases they're looking at, but quite frankly, this is the most important case on my radar. And I believe they need to free an innocent man who did exactly as he was trained to do.
I agree.
So while we're fighting for this appeal, we have partnered with the Pipe Hitter Foundation. Eddie and Andrea Gallagher have helped us to raise support. So people can go to their website, pipehitterfoundation.org, or they can also go to standwithdarby.com. That's a website that Ben and I have created, and we have multiple documents on there proving his exoneration, things that support him. Our attorney general, Steve Marshall, is now the prosecutor of the case. And in 2018, there was a shooting that he stated that it would be unethical for him to charge an officer for the officer-involved shooting that happened. This wasn't Ben's case. This was another case outside of Birmingham. All that case law that he claimed, we also claimed during our trial, but none of that case law was admitted to be heard by the judge or to be heard to the jury because the judge wouldn't allow it. The judge didn't allow a neighbor of Parker who had several conversations with him involving how Parker hated cops and how he had a plan to lure a cop into his house and kill them. That was not allowed to be heard by the jury. A training advisor of Ben's from Huntsville Police Department's training academy, they have their own police academy for the state. He was in a incident while he was working on duty, which ended up getting shot in the face because action is faster than reaction. And Jason wasn't able to react quick enough. And quite frankly, no one's able to react quite quick enough to beat a gun. And Jason was shot in the face with birdshot. Thankfully, he survived that, but he went on to become a training officer to train new cadets that you cannot wait for a gun to be pointed at you, which is,
that's right,
which is listed in Graham versus Connor. Yep. Supreme Court case law for cops.
That's right.
None of that was allowed to be heard to the jury. If they would have heard that, along with the fact that Ben was cleared by his department, he would not be in prison right now.
Yeah. And as somebody who, again, has the experience dealing with violent situations, I mean, this is the training that we have received. We went through all kinds of law enforcement training, our team did, and you're absolutely right. Action is a lot faster than reaction. And, you know, you point guns at criminals, violent offenders, or people who possess weapons or the means to inflict great bodily harm and or death to you or to the public or any innocent, you point guns at them all the time. In these situations, that's what you do. That's what you are trained to do. Pipehitterfoundation.org, pipehitterfoundation.org. Let's put this on the screen also right now. Standwithdarby.com, standwithdarby.com. Go and review all these documents and please help to support Keelan and Ben. Let's get him free. Keelan Darby, thank you for coming here to tell us this story and for bringing this to our attention. We appreciate it and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you for the help. I appreciate it.
Of course. We're always happy to help good people. And now it's time for us to help you good people. Back pain, muscle pain, migraine, headaches, ligament pain, joint pain, pain from recent surgery. How about arthritis? How about asthma? How about allergies? How about Parkinson's? How about don't take pills? How about CBD? How about natural CBD from Curibl, KURIBL.com, KURIBL.com. Personal testimony from me. Injured my shoulder 22 years ago. The pain has been nonstop ever since. I've just dealt with it. I didn't want surgery. I had some stupid injection that blew it up even more. The endoclavicular joint, if you want me to get technical. Curibl's pain cream completely took it away. 1,000%. Did you know that CBD has so many different benefits, so many different functions? Go to Curibl.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. K-U-R-I-B-L.com. The hemp is sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. 100% natural, 100% clear, family-owned operation. You'll love it. If you don't know the importance of CBD or the benefits that you can have and experience from using CBD products, you want to research it yourself. I always encourage that. So do it. Go to Curibl, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Make sure that you use Stew20 for 20% off site-wide when you go to Curibl.com. Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com. No pain is greater than that of a parent who has to bury their own child. Unimaginable. Nothing compares. Tragically, Patty Lermer has lived through that pain. Patty's 16-year-old son, Kai, dropped dead one day while playing basketball. Unknown to anyone, he had a congenital heart defect. If he had gone through an electrocardiogram or any other sort of heart evaluation, the family might have known and been able to treat it, but sadly, that didn't happen. Kai's death has made Patty acutely aware of the sensitivity of our hearts, and now she's terrified that thousands of parents will experience the same loss she did. Thanks, of course, to the forced imposition of the COVID shots on children, teenagers, and young adults who have absolutely no need for them whatsoever. Because an EKG might have saved her son's life, Patty has become a passionate advocate for their use. Normally, an EKG can cost $100 or more, but Patty has spearheaded a fight in her home state of Wisconsin to change all of that. She's organized charitable events where young people can receive an EKG for as little as $20. Also, last spring, Wisconsin's governor signed the Chi 11 bill. That bill gives the state's parents an opportunity to get an EKG for their children before they participate in high school sports, so they can receive treatment before problems occur or detect an issue instead of receiving a funeral afterwards. Patty Lermer joins us now. Patty, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Hi, Stu. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the heart is a sensitive organ. It's also probably the most vital organ that we have. Absolutely. And these things can happen in young people unbeknownst to us. Now we're seeing a drastic uptick thanks to the imposition, the tyrannical imposition of these deadly shots. And so your concern is legitimate. What are you doing specifically to help?
Well, after Kai passed, we started a foundation, and we wanted to raise money to educate parents about sudden cardiac arrest and also to help prevent it. So we've been having CPR training as well as placing AEDs in the Waukesha police cars. And then our efforts in EKG testing is more on the preventative side. After I found out that EKG could have saved Kai's life, our mission was to really prevent this tragedy from helping other parents, other families.
So you're absolutely right. First of all, athletes at that age probably don't have any idea what to do if somebody just drops to the floor. So the training is obviously an incredible thing. I mean, I honestly had never thought of that before. And the coaches, everybody on the sidelines should be trained exactly what to do in this instance, because sadly, I think we're going to be seeing an uptick in this. But the EKG stuff specifically really interests me. This is something that parents wouldn't think of. Oh, I should bring my 12-year-old in for an EKG before the football season starts or the hockey season or whatever, before exerting yourself, before going on a hunting trip. And so that awareness, I think, is incredibly important. How can parents get an EKG for $20 in Wisconsin thanks to your efforts?
So we just held an EKG testing on Tuesday, August 9th, and we invited 19 high schools. So we had students over 27 cities. We tested close to 443 students. And we're going to be doing that again next year. It's on a offsite building so that we are able to invite as many students as we would like to. So I would advise anyone that wants to get their student tested, if it's not in the Waukesha area high school district, then to wait for information for next year. So I just wanted to state that, you know, Kyla's really healthy. He was a triathlete. I fed him organic clean food, and he was very conscious about his health. He liked to work out, and we were totally blindsided. What I didn't know is that EKGs can detect 94% of high-risk heart conditions. And when a doctor does the physicals, only 9% of that can be detected through physicals, and 20% can only be detected by family history, questions with, you know, regarding family history of heart disease. So I also found out that one in 400 students has potentially a Wolf Parkinson White disease. That's what Kai had, that was undiagnosed. So we were, we've been testing, this is our fourth test, and we found three students with WPWs and one with cardiomyopathy. There's a lot of abnormal tests that we also have found that needs either an echocardiogram or they need to bring it up to their primary health care.
So in just this recent test on August 9th, the 443 roughly some odd students, these are the results? That many children had?
That was the total of all the tests, but this last current test, we had two students with WPWs and two that need more testing through an echocardiogram. So that result wasn't divulged to me yet due to HIPAA, but we do know that two had WPW, two needs echo, and then five need to keep it under the watch with their primary health care.
Pay attention, everybody, in Wisconsin, Waukesha and surrounding in the area for Patty's efforts here. And then also, if in your own home state, 49 others, if this doesn't exist in your state, this is incredibly important. Get together with somebody, find the infrastructure to do this, and make sure that kids are being tested. I had no idea that this stuff was that prevalent. I mean, the numbers that you're giving are staggering. And number two, this is only going to increase. First of all, don't give your kids these shots. And number two, make sure that you're testing their hearts before they play in any active sports.
Absolutely.
We're absolutely incredibly sorry for the loss of Kai. And I will just tell you this. A lot of parents would just curl up in the fetal position and their entire lives would be ruined. Kai's death gave you purpose and you're helping to save others. And for that, we are tremendously grateful for you. You are an angel sent from heaven. Seriously, thank you very much. Patty Lermer, and thank you for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stu.
Of course, very important stuff. And as an aside, a very important aside, myocarditis would most definitely be detected with an EKG. You can see how important this is. If this is not happening in your community, please organize this. Advocate for this exact thing. We have to fight to keep our kids alive and healthy. Address these heart issues, detect them early on so they can get the treatment that they need. Speaking of treatment, I want to give you a treat. Focused Savagery. You know what that is? That's one of the brain supplements from Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. These nootropics brain supplements help you to put everything on the straight and narrow, all the fragmented information that you're dealing with, all of the information that you're trying to process from the minute that you wake up. This is the light switch, the on switch for your brain. Focus Savagery is just one of many. There's Mental Reboot. If you have like brain fog, if you feel yourself kind of in a mental slump, this Mental Reboot is great. Maybe you want to be relaxed in the evening time, but you don't want to drink alcohol because alcohol kills brain cells, not Newtopia.com/Stu Peters, not Gabalicious. This gives you kind of the same effect to help you to relax in the evening times. There are all kinds of different supplements that you'll find when you go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. They're 100% safe, totally legal. You're not going to go to jail for being dominant in your brain. Don't let people dupe you, pull the wool over your eyes, process information immediately the second you pop your eyes open. Go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters, fill out the custom questionnaire, and get a brain supplement package specifically designed for you. Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Again, Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Urgent announcement right now. Go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. In just a few seconds, Carlos Cortez is putting on a free webinar for you to help keep yourself out of the danger of the recession, hyperinflation, tax hikes, and criminal government theft. Go there now. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Do business with a like-minded, Jesus-loving, God-fearing patriot who loves this country. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. It's starting right now. Until tomorrow at this time, God bless.